Thank you. We praise you in the name of Jesus. And Lord, the first thing that we do is just lift up Kevin to you, Lord, and just ask you to just touch his body even now. Lord, just remove the fever, heal him completely, displace any infirmity that's trying to cause harm to his body. And Lord, bless him for being here tonight, even though he should be home. Lord, we give thanks for him. And Lord, we give thanks for you because you are in our midst tonight. And we pray over all those, especially those that are in the hospital, those that are going to have surgery tomorrow, Lord, that you just be with them and give them perfect success. Lord, we thank you for James and Jimmy, Lord, just again touching their body. And all the people that, Lord, tonight we've been lifting up in prayer. Lord, tonight as we humble ourselves before you, as we seek your face, as we turn from our wicked ways, oh God, as we cry out for our nation, as we cry out, even as Kevin just said, Lord, you're ambushing our enemies even now. Oh, let our eyes be open to that great truth. And Lord, tonight, help me to teach this word that is so deep. Help me to teach it, Lord. Give me that revelation. And may the hearts and the, Lord, the minds of all of us, every person here, be open to this great prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, and the church says, amen. Amen. By great prayer, I'm not speaking of mine, but the one we're going to study tonight. Turn in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20. You know, we're in taking a break, not really a break, but we just finished 1 Samuel. We'll be in 2 Samuel, whenever the Lord tells me to move out of the series that we're in now, which has to do with the great prayers of the Bible. And last Wednesday night, we talked about the prayer of Jabez the God who is the God of new beginnings. Tonight, we're going to talk about the God who fights our battles, amen? And you know, he's always fighting our battles, whether you know that or not. He loves you. He's our Father, which art in heaven. He's always taking care of us. He's always looking after us tonight. And this great prayer here of Jehoshaphat, who is the king of the southern kingdom, Judah, who reigns there as it came to power as a young man, about 30 some odd years of age. And he is one of the good kings and the great prayer that he prays here. And so as we look at these battles, the battle tonight, you know, the Lord never has lost a battle. You know that, don't you? And when he fights for you, he never loses. Amen? So tonight, let's look at the God who battles for us all, beginning in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. It says, and it happened after this, meaning after all the reforms that the king put into place, that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and others with them, besides the Ammonites, came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And those were Israel's ancient enemies, if you will. And then they came, evidently some scouts who've been checking everything out. They came and they told him, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazazon's Tamar, which is En Gedi. Now, Judah's enemy then, they were right on the very doorstep. They were closing in, if you will, on Jerusalem. So God's people are surrounded and the enemy is closing in. And do you ever feel like that in your life? You feel like, Lord, what is happening? Everything is going wrong. I'm surrounded not only by my problems, but the things that are happening in my life. And you know, what an incredible battle plan we're going to look at. What kind of battle plan would you come up with whenever you're faced with all the difficulties in life? When you feel like the enemies have just, they're going to defeat you. Well, look at this plan here. It begins in verse 3. And Jehoshaphat, it says he what? Feared and set himself or set his face to do two things. Number one, to seek the Lord. And number two, what he was going to do to the nation, proclaim a fast throughout all of Judah. I think that's a great battle plan, don't you? You know, this is not, when it says he was afraid, this is not talking about the spirit of fear that we, you know, and so forth. Man, look, this is wisdom. He's going, he's wondering, he said, okay, what are we going to do? We have a crisis on our hands. And when you have a crisis and you're a leader and you are fearful, that doesn't disqualify you. Amen? I hear sometimes, well, he just doesn't have any faith. Really? I'll tell you what this kind of fear does. This kind of fear says, I don't have the adequate resources. and I know who does. I'm going to go to the Lord. So this great battle plan, he didn't call and say, listen, let's get the army all ready and so forth. He set himself to do something. He set himself to pray. You know what? Don't neglect prayer. It is so needed today. It says he set himself. He was inwardly determined to seek the Lord, to find the Lord through prayer, to find God's will. And you know what? Whenever you are surrounded by issues in this life, the best thing you can do is seek the Lord immediately. Amen? Don't wait. Go to the Lord instantly. You know, the Bible tells us that it says for us to go to heaven. It says seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. That's Colossians 3:1. Man, we need to go there often, every day. Matthew 6:33, Jesus says, seek ye first. That's priority. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. The Bible gives us a promise that is so overwhelming. It says in Hebrews 11:6, it is impossible to please God without faith. It's impossible. But he that comes to him must believe that he is, and here it is, that he is a rewarder of those who what? Not just seek him, but diligently seek the Lord, going after the Lord. In other words, when you're surrounded by enemies, you don't know what to do. You leave you walk away from the visible and you go to the invisible. Amen? You go to the place where all of our resources are, where all power and authority is. And look what else he did. He proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So he called a nationwide fast. What would happen if that happened in America? Can you imagine what would happen? I mean, well, never mind. Are you interested? Yes. Listen, the only place in Scripture that the fast is commanded, remember, is only one time a year for the Jews, and it was the Day of Atonement. So fasting, really, New Testament-wise, is a volunteer thing. I mean, it's commended by our Lord, but it's always say, Lord, it's my own act. I want to fast before you. So here, you know, this fasting, you know, if you really want to know a fast that pleased the Lord, when you get home tonight, read Isaiah chapter 58. Read all, and then you will see a fast that truly pleases the Lord. So the word fasting literally means not just to go without food and so forth. It literally means that fasting is hunger for God. You want the Lord. You want only the Lord. Amen? That's what it's really about. So we move from prayer and we go to fasting, not to move God. That's not what he's doing here, because God is always faithful in keeping his covenant. But fasting is feasting on the Lord, desiring his presence, desiring his will, seeking his perfect help. But listen carefully now. Fasting is also in prayer. They always go together, by the way. You know, you can pray without fasting, but you can't fast without prayer. They always go together. But the thing that we need to see here, that fasting and prayer is an instrument where demonic forces are broken. See, the problem wasn't really a human army. The problem that they were facing was the demonic army or the demons behind the army. Amen? Just like we are. Remember when Jesus came and he was casting, the disciples couldn't cast out the demons and so forth out of this child and so forth. Jesus said in Mark 9:29, he said, this kind comes out but by nothing but by prayer and fasting. So as we look at our text this morning, tonight, yesterday, this evening, whatever day it is, somebody at the cafe said, Bill, you need to take Sudafed tonight. I should have listened to them. You know, the prayer and fasting and praise, as we're going to see in a moment, and prophecy, they are all weapons of our warfare. And when we see that, right now, for example, tonight, when we came to work, when we were worshiping, did you worship? I don't know if you did or not. That's only between you and the Lord. A lot of people, you know, they listen to the music. I don't know if they're singing or not. I don't watch them. I'm worshiping the Lord. But do you know whenever you worship the Lord, when we truly worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, do you know something is happening in that realm that's against us? And if we would only grasp that, if we could see it, it would change everything. Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not of this world. They're not flesh. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. You never fight our enemy in the flesh. Now look at verse 4. So Judah gathered together and asked help from the Lord and all the cities of Judah that they came to seek the Lord. So everyone in Judah, in other words, it was a total commitment. Man, for all of us to come together and to stand as one body, as one person, one man in Christ. The Bible says, Jesus said, a house divided cannot stand. And you know, tonight, this battle, there's a battle. Do you know there's a battle against us tonight? Do you know that we have enemies? Do you know that we are surrounded just like they were tonight by the demonic forces from hell? And they, you know what they want to do? They're gathered together to kill, to steal, and destroy us. They're waging war against the saints of God. Even this moment they are. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. That's military talk. Resist him steadfast. How? In the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. So look what the king did there in verse 5. He stood there in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house, or literally the temple of the Lord, before the new court, and listen to what he prays. O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven? And do you not rule over all the kingdom of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might? And watch this now, that no one is able to withstand you. Are you not our God? And may I add to Scripture, is he not our God? Amen? Who drove out all the inhabitants of the land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever. What a prayer. His heart is just open so wide to the Lord. He says, God, you're bigger than anything we'll ever face. You created everything. There's not anyone, no one like you. You dominate the affairs of the world. You rule. And they dwell in it, he says, and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple, and cry out, or literally, we will pray to you in our affliction. And look what he says, and you will what? Hear, and you will save. Listen, do you know he is praying in faith right now? Do you pray like that? Lord, I know you're going to hear me. I know that you're going to act. I know you're going to take care of this situation. I know that I'm not going down. I know I'm going to stay up. I'm going to stay afloat because you're my God. You fight my battles. Amen? Yes. Listen, I look at that and I say, oh, Lord. See, prayer must always be voiced by faith. God, we're not able, but God, you are able. Lord, you have heard. Now you act. Listen, that is faith. He believes that. In other words, he's saying, your manifested help, just like this year for us, your manifested help, it'll be seen. We'll see your help, Lord. And look at verse 10 now. And now here are the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. But they turned from them and did not destroy them. Remember all the way back in Numbers when Moses was trying to take the children of Israel through their land, the enemy territory, and he went to them and said, please, we won't drink your water. We won't touch one thing. All we want is to get right through. We won't turn to the right or turn to the left. Just let us get through this land. And they would not do it. Well, God wouldn't let Moses and them destroy them. But now they're getting it. So he says, here they are. Boy, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you've given us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? Now watch what he says in this prayer. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. In other words, coming to destroy us. Nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Do you ever pray like that? I'm going to tell you something. About 99.9% of the time, I don't know what to do. I'm always asking the Lord, what do you want me to do? What the decision that I have to make today, Lord, tell me how to make that decision. What is your perfect will? Amen. I don't know, Lord. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this great multitude of problems or the things that are happening or the war that's raging. But I know this. I don't look to myself. I don't look to my abilities because that's not going to help me. But one thing I do, my eyes, look at it now, my eyes are upon you. And that phrase is a phrase that the devil hates. You know that? He doesn't want our eyes upon the Lord at all. See, when we start looking to the invisible, meaning our God in heaven, that's when all of a sudden the impossible happens. You know? And so he says, no, our eyes, we're going to look to the solution, which is God, not to the problem and so forth. And that's wisdom. Remember what the psalmist said in Psalm 121? He said, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills from whence cometh my help, for my help cometh from the Lord who made heaven and the earth and who made the hills also. Amen. Listen, whatever you put your eye on when you're faced with an enemy, when you're faced with circumstances, whatever you put your eye on, your job, yourself, other people, self-help books, whatever, well, that's what you trust. That's what you're putting your trust in. The Bible tells us who to look to and to keep our eye upon. It says in Hebrews 12:2, looking unto Jesus. That means to fix our gaze upon Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. Amen? The Bible tells us in Psalm 25:15, it says, oh, my eyes are ever toward the Lord. Ever toward the Lord. Do you know whenever you go to the Lord in prayer, believing? Loved one, it does no good to go to the Lord, to go into your prayer closet, shut the door, and not believe. It doesn't do any good. It's like God's going, why are you even praying to me? You must believe that I am. Remember? That's what it says in Hebrews 11:6. Remember, you must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. No, when you go in there and God says, listen, I'm for you. I am with you. I sent Jesus Christ, my only begotten Son, to pay for your sin, to take your punishment, to feel and experience and taste your death, to take your place. And now you're mine. You belong to me. Listen, God says, what is on your heart? He already knows, but he wants you to tell him. And you go and you tell him, and by faith, say, Lord, I know that all the circumstances, I don't know what to do, but I know you're handling it for me. Because God is always fighting our battles. Did you know that? Even the ones that we think when we're not in a battle, he's the one taking care of it. And I look and I say, oh, God. Just like Jesus said, he said, oh, if you can believe, if you can believe, if you can fix your faith that God has already given you, Romans 12:3, it already exists in your heart. He says, if you can only believe, all things are possible to him who believeth. And how we need to cling to that. Now look at verse 13. And now all of Judah with their little ones and their wives and their children, they stood before the Lord. Let's stop there. We've had prayer. We've had fasting. And now we're going to move into the prophetic realm. Watch this. And then the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit of the Lord, came upon, or literally fell upon, Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, and the son of whatever there, and all the rest of them, and the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. So here this man is flowing in the Spirit. He's speaking in, by the Holy Spirit. Man, when we are helpless, we have the divine helper. And here he is in the midst of praise, in the midst of worship, in the midst of prayer, prophetic utterance now comes forth. And look what he said. And he said, listen. He must have the same problem I do. I say that all the time too. He said, listen, all of you of Judah, you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed because of this great multitude. And here it is. For the battle is not yours, but God's. In other words, God is the God who battles for you. He takes the place. He goes before you. Amen? And he says, you're not going to have to strike a blow. You're just going to be the spectators. You know, don't ever forget, well, when you're in a battle, why do you fight? Don't you ever just say, I'm not going to fight you. Have you ever just come to that point? People can come and cut you down, say all kinds of things about it, and say, okay, you're right. Well, you stink. Yeah, I know I do. I mean, I can't stand you. I know you can't. I can't stand myself either. You understand? I don't have to fall apart. I don't have to fall apart about anything. I just have to fall on my face before my God and Savior. You know what I mean? That's what it's all about. And I look at the God who fights my battles, you know, because the battle is not mine. It's my Lord's. He says, get out of my way. Be quiet. Stand still. I'm going to do it all for you. Remember what we talked about Sunday, this past Sunday, about if you're in the storm, don't fall apart. Don't do that. Don't fall apart, you know, and so forth. You know, take heart. Why? Why should we take heart? Remember, well, number one, we have the Lord's presence. Number two, we belong to God. Number three, we serve the Lord. And then Paul, what did he say? He says, the last thing he said, he did not say, for I believe in God. Well, there's nothing wrong with saying that. But he said, no, for I believe God. I believe him, that it'll be just as he said. You can take God's word. It's faithful. You can build your life on the integrity of the word of God while this nation and all the other nations of this world fall apart. But I'll tell you, heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will never pass away. Amen? And I look and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. Even to the very end, when you think about the battles, who's going to fight for Israel at the end of the age? God. That's the second coming. Remember in Zechariah chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Let me just read those to you. It says, in that day, meaning the second coming, when we come back with the Lord to this earth. It says, in that day, the Lord will defend. In other words, he will fight for the inhabitants of Jerusalem. The one who is feeble among them in that day shall be like David. And the house of David shall be like God. And the angel, like the angel of the Lord before him. Now listen, and it shall be in that day, God says, Jesus says, I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. God, at the very end, when Jerusalem is surrounded by all the nations of the earth, all of a sudden the sky is going to split open. The second coming is going to occur. Revelation 19, 11 and following says, here we go. We're going to come back with him. Oh, and it's going to be something. He's going to defeat all those nations. Then the sheep and the goat judgment take place and so forth. Then he sets up his millennial reign for 1,000 years and we're going to rule and reign with him. Listen, we win. Because God has never lost a battle yet. See, he's the God who fights for us. It says in verse 16, he goes on, he says, tomorrow you go down against them and they will surely come up to the ascent by Ziz and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Now look what he says. You will not need to fight in this battle. Now look what they're to do. Position yourselves. Stand still. In other words, enjoy what you're getting ready to see. See the salvation of the Lord who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against him, for the Lord is with you. That's one of the greatest military plans in history. You're not going to have to fight, but you're going to win. That's my kind of plan. Now listen to me. Never, ever, ever. We've talked about prayer. We've talked about fasting. And now the prophecy. Boy, I'll tell you, never, ever discount the present day moving and ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. How we need that today just as much as they needed it then and so forth. Imagine if the king and all the people there had said, well, you know what? That was a word. Was that a word from God? You know, wonder if they said, we don't believe in prophecy. We don't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. We believe they all passed away like people say today. Oh, no. Listen, if there's ever been a time that we needed that, we do need that today. Amen? Or wonder if they had received a true prophetic word like they did and we say we received a true prophetic word about it, but we did not act upon it. But it bears witness with our spirit. It doesn't supersede Scripture, okay? It doesn't go against God's word. It goes along with God's word. You know, I remember about I don't know anymore, but it was a long time ago. And we were starting another Calvary in another city. And the Lord had moved me. We're still here, but we were just starting another Calvary. So I was holding meetings. And, man, I mean, it's the first night there was like 30 people. The second night there was 100 people. It was just the church was instantly going along. Well, the second night, we were all in like at a community center. And I didn't know any of these people, maybe a couple. And anyway, there was a couple that was sitting over at this table, and I was ministering that night, and all of a sudden, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, speak to that couple over there, speak to that man. And I looked at him, I said, sir, I'm not trying to be weird or anything, but the Lord just spoke to my heart about your finances. And I don't know if you're rich or poor or what, but I know that tomorrow you're going to receive a phone call and someone's going to give you $10,000. Well, you know, they looked at me like I was do you understand? The next day, that person that I spoke to received a telephone call to be at DFW Airport, and a private jet landed on the runway and had a check for $10,000 for him. That's a true word. Now, I didn't know that, but do you understand what I'm saying? What if he had just said, I blew that, you're some kind of moron, which they probably thought. And I even thought I was a moron the whole way home. I'm going, what are you, a nut, you know? Listen, God is always moving if we would just believe how he wants to help us. He's always wanting to help. He's always wanting to fight for us. Now, listen, after I received a word like that, I think I'd start worshiping. Look what they do. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground. And all of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before him. And they were worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites, or the children of the Kohathites, and the children of the Kohathites stood up to what? Praise the Lord God of Israel. And look how they did it, with voices loud and voices high. And so they rose early in the morning and they went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, the king stood and said, hear me, O Judah, you have inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe, that's a very important word. Believe in the Lord your God. Believe. Those words mean absolutely everything. He's your God, the object of your faith. Believe in him, and you shall be what? Established. You'll never be moved. You'll never slip. You believe in him. He'll fight your battles for you, and believe his prophets. In other words, the prophecy that just came, and it says, and you shall prosper. In other words, hold fast to the Lord, because he's holding fast to you. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and who should, there's that word again, praise the beauty of his holiness. And as they went out before the army, and they were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. How would you like to have been in that praise band? You're going to go out in front of the army. You're going to be, you know, just singing and with your, whatever. And, you're going to be in the very front. Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. If you ever wanted to see an army of worshipers, there it was. That is, loved one, the strongest army on the face of the earth. They had no generals. They had no military. You know what they had? They had just worshipers, and they were lost in the beauty of the holiness of Almighty God. And they were just praising the Lord. So you have prayer, you have praise, you have prophecy, you have worship, and they're all warfare to help us against the enemy. Now watch this. And when they began to sing and to praise, and may I add to scripture, and only when they began to do those things did God act. Watch this. Then the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were what? Defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. So when Judah came to the place overlooking the wilderness, they looked toward the multitude, and they were dead bodies fallen on the earth. And how many escaped? No one. Now listen, let's just look at us for a moment. I tell you that here we are in this body. And today, in every church, the neglect of true worship of God is a horrible thing. to come and not be prepared to worship the Lord. If you could only see what happens when every heart, they don't want to talk to their neighbor. They don't want to be disturbed. They don't want people coming in late and interrupting their praise and worship. Amen. They just want to be lost in the beauty of his holiness. And if you could see what was really happening in the spiritual realm. If you could see, because that's where all the problems are right now. Did you know that? That's where the next attack against you is. See, whenever you have people that are praying and worshiping, that's the pathway to victory. And that's why, you know, people say, no, I like contemporary, or I like the hymns, I like this. God says, be quiet. You need to worship. God's not an egomaniac. He doesn't need our worship. You need to worship the Lord. The Bible says he enthrones the habit of our praises. Amen? And God comes down. He's in the midst of our problems. He enthrones himself around us. No, listen. This confusion, Israel's enemies, they destroyed themselves in confusion. Worship when we worship the Lord. Really worship the Lord. Do you know what happens? It confuses the enemy. It confuses the power of darkness. Something really happens when we really worship the Lord. And that is a picture of what takes place in the spiritual realm. See, if we could only see between here and there's heaven, but in between that is what we call the heavenlies. And who is in the heavenlies? The wicked one. See, and when we start worshiping the Lord and worshiping and praying and really praising God, something happens when the body of Christ comes together and they really pray in faith and they really worship in faith. Something happens in the spiritual realm. And the reason I say that is because, see, that's where the real battle is. Do you agree with that? You know, I can prove it by scripture, and I certainly will, but that's the area there, the spiritual realm, that's the area where Satan is planning and trying to plan your next defeat, your next heartache, your next temptation, your next failure. Are you following me? That he's right there right now. He comes to steal. He comes to kill. He comes to destroy. That's the area where he's planning your defeat, and that's also the place where our victory is realized there. When we really worship the Lord, when we really pray and come before God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6:12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness, here it is, in heavenly places. That's his domain. Does that make, do you understand? This is where he's at. He's confined to the earth, but he has the heavenlies there that he operates in. The Bible says in Ephesians 2:2, it says that he, the devil, he is the prince of the power of the airs, or the heavenlies, the prince. He's the ruler of the demonic world. And there in those heavenlies, that's where all the plans are taking place right this minute. To discourage you. All the fiery darts of the devil for tomorrow are being planned right this moment for you. But something happens when a Christian wakes up in the morning and he starts worshiping God the very first thing. He doesn't go to technology. He doesn't turn on his laptop. He doesn't turn on his iPad. Or you understand? He doesn't look at his cell phone. He walks in there, and you know what I like to do? I walk in. I have a lazy boy. It's about 30 years old. It's conformed to my image. I've already told you about that, right? And it's all dark. Before I go on my walk, and then I open up the drapes, and it's all dark outside. And I just sit there in the darkness and start worshiping the Lord. I say, oh, Lord, and I lift my hands, and I start praising him. And I start thanking him. For all the good things, for all the battles that he's fighting for me now, knowing that he will never, ever leave me, that he will never, ever forsake me. When we're serious in our prayer time, going before the Lord, all alone, just you and the Lord, there in the darkness, but actually you're more in the light than you've ever been. When you're before him and he sees you, he loves you, he wants you, he wants to communicate with you. That's what prayer is communication. Not a monologue. God wants a dialogue. where you hear him speak. You have a request. He speaks to you. The Holy Spirit working in your heart. Oh, listen, loved one. I'm telling you, we are in a battle, and the battle is realized there when we go to the Lord daily, when we come in corporate worship and we start praising him. I tell you, the devil hates the name of Jesus because it's the only name accepted in heaven. Amen? It's the only name. It's the greatest of all names. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. But whenever we start worshiping him in this house and we go and worship him in spirit and truth, something happens in the spiritual realm. Something is being destroyed, the plans of the enemies. Why? Because confusion sets in. They can't stand a church that truly worships God. That's why a worship in the teaching of God's word are the two most attacked places in the body of Christ. Always the attack is there. But see, the worship of God opens up the word of God for me to come and teach. And I can always tell when the door has been opened, when the heart of the people truly worship. You know what happens? That means they're wanting to hear God's word, and they draw God's word out from me. It's not me that has anything for you, even though I prepare. It's God says, oh, they want to hear my word. They want to be set free. They want to walk in power and might. Amen? And you draw that from me. And as he gives it to me, and I say, oh, Lord, you're so good. The heavenlies, the place where the planning of our defeat is right now. But we're not going to be defeated. But he wants to defeat you. He wants to confuse you. God's not the author of confusion. Satan's the author of confusion. He wants your mind all on the world and all the things of the world and the problems of this life. God says, why are you looking at that problem? Why are you looking at that battle? I'm the one fighting for you, and I've never lost yet. And he's never going to lose. Look at verse 25. And then when the king and his people came to take away their spoil, all those dead bodies out there, remember, they found among them an abundance of valuables on the dead bodies and precious jewelry. And they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were there 3 days gathering the spoil because there was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled at the valley of Berachah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the place was called the valley of Berachah until this day, or literally the place to bless the Lord, or the place to praise the Lord. And then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem and the king in front of them, to go back to Jerusalem with joy. And the Lord had made them rejoice over their enemies. Did you catch that? And they came to Jerusalem. Oh, and they came with stringed instruments. They came with harps. They came with trumpets to the house of the Lord. Wouldn't you love to have been in that procession? Oh, that would have been glorious. And the fear of God was on all the nations or all the kingdoms of those countries. And when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. Did you catch that? The Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. Then the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. Jehoshaphat was quiet. For his God gave him what? Rest all around. You know, that's what you and that's what we really want, isn't it? We want the noise to stop. We just want it to be at peace, and we want it to be quiet, Lord. This battle was won by prayer, by fasting, by worship, by prophecy. But the battle was won by God. But it was all those were so important. You know, the Bible tells us, remember what Paul says in Philippians 4:6. He says, be anxious. That word, like we get our word angina. You know, don't have a heart attack. Don't be torn apart. Be anxious for what? Nothing. Don't be torn apart. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious for nothing. I mean, nothing is what he said. Absolutely nothing. Don't let anything do that, anything in this life. He says, but in everything by what? Prayer. Supplication. With thanksgiving. Oh, Lord, thanksgiving, because you know God's going to answer your prayer. With thanksgiving, let your request be known unto God. And the peace of God, the very peace that God possesses, the peace of God, which surpasses what? All understanding. All understanding will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus, our Lord. The word guard, that's a military word. God says, you know what? You don't have to worry about a thing because I am setting a military arsenal. God, our Father, I'm guarding your heart myself. I'm guarding your mind myself. You don't have to worry about a thing. I'm God. You're not. I've never lost, and I never will. He can keep us. He can sustain us. He can feed us. He can, if the whole world went under. You know what? You know what it says let me see. Yes. I love this scripture. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. Watch this. Even though the earth be removed. Now listen, that kind of shake me up, wouldn't you? He says, no, we're not going to fear. Even though the earth is completely gone, even though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, well, we're not going to worry about it. Even though the waters roar and be troubled, and even though the mountains shake with its swelling, No, we're not going to worry. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Listen, that's the word of God. That is the truth of God's word. You know, the Bible tells us in 1 John 4:4, it tells us, you are of God, little children, and greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Listen, we're not going down. Oh, we're going to have problems. We're going to have warfare. We're going to have all those things. But in the midst of that, if we can take this great prayer, if we can learn anything, we can say, you know what? We can pray. If we feel led to fast, we can fast. If a word of prophecy comes, praise God. But the fact of the matter is, God is fighting our battles right now. He is fighting for us right this minute. Something happens when people start praising the Lord. Really praising the Lord. Not just, you know, being religious or praising God. Praising the Lord. You know, I think I've probably shared this with you, and I'll never forget when Becky and I left our first pastorate and we moved into a house in Fort Worth here. And the house, literally, you've heard me tell the story, I could plug in the vacuum cleaner, I could vacuum the entire house and never unplug it. Matter of fact, I could even vacuum the garage. That's how small this house was. And I'll never forget when the Lord gave us our next home, which we've been in now for about 30 years. And I remember and I went, oh my Lord, it took forever to walk to the bathroom. And I was all alone in the house that day, in the first day. And I went through that house with a tambourine. And I started praising God and worshiping God. I went into every room of that house and thanking God for what he had just given unto us. Yes. You know, when we really praise the Lord, we confuse the enemy. When we really praise and worship and go to the Lord in faithful prayer, when we go to the heavenlies, when we seek Christ, which is above, man, listen, we cause confusion in the power of darkness. We cause the devil's reign, if you will, to be confused. They can't figure out what's going on. Something happens. I don't know how to explain it, but something happens when a church really praises God. Not just, you know, they really praise the Lord. They're lost in the worship and the beauty of his holiness. Something truly happens. Mary Slessor, a missionary from Africa, said this, Satan is allergic to praise, so that whenever there is massive, triumphant praise, he is paralyzed, he is bound, and he is banished. Just like the Bible says in Psalm 22:3, that God, he says, you are holy, O God, enthroned in the praises of your people. Enthroned. That's where God says, here's my child, here's my daughter, here's my son. I am coming down in the midst of their problem. I'm enthroning myself in their very midst. I'm surrounding them. No one is going to touch them. Even though you get thrown in the furnace, the fiery furnace, guess what? It's just going to burn off what? The things that had you bound. You won't even smell like smoke when you come out. Amen. That's what God does. You say, well, Bill, I don't know about that. I don't know that God, our Father, really fights for us. Loved one, listen to me. The Bible tells us that we're not only blessed, Ephesians 1:3. But we're also chosen. And God fights for those he chooses. And not only that, we're not only blessed, we're not only chosen. The Bible says we're predestined, we are adopted, we're accepted in the beloved, we're redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Listen, we are forgiven, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, we have assurance. But more than that, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 2:6, it says, "And God who made us alive," listen carefully, "together with Christ." Who made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved. Now listen. And raised us up together, all of us, and made us sit together. Where? In the heavenly places. That's the place of God's supernatural rule. It says, who has made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm telling you, are you in a battle? I'm telling you that God is fighting your battle right now. Believe that. Trust in that. Wait and watch your enemy fall. Don't retaliate. Don't try to fight it yourself. Don't try to fight the devil in your own strength. It's, you know, you fight the you can't fight the devil in your own strength. It says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Amen? I'm so thankful that I see the things that I am praying for and I know they're being answered. Not because I'm some super prayer warrior or because I have anything going for me any more than you have going for you, but I know they're being answered. I believe they're already answered. You see, they're answered in the invisible and they're getting ready to be manifested in the natural. Why? Because God cannot lie. Because God hears our prayers. And the Holy Spirit helps us pray the will of God. Because we know not how we should pray. But man, when we start praying in the Spirit, oh, God is so good. We start praying the perfect will of God. We don't even know it. And Father, even now as we close out this night, oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, let religiosity be so displaced from this body. If we're infected with it, oh, Lord. Let it depart from here. And let this church, Lord, please, before I go, let this church be a church that really worships the Lord. Not worshiping the worship, but worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who loves us, who fights our battles, who's coming for us, who's building a place for us even now. Lord, thank you for letting us sit in the heavenlies with you. That's our position right this minute. That's our position. Let us experience that position, Lord. And Father, I thank you that even now, there in the heavenlies, that confusion has set in the powers of darkness. And all the plans of the enemy that they have for this body, all the plans of the enemy that they have for each individual believer that's present, we thank you that confusion has set in. And they are lost. They don't know what to do. Their plans have gone awry. Their plans have failed. And confusion is now ruling and reigning there because we are a people who believe the word of God and who praise you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Now, Lord, we thank you for that. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And the church says, amen. Let's stand to our feet. This